I'll do my review. Perception, very important. It's not what you see, how you see it. And in a world today where we allow things to affect our how we see things is where it becomes dangerous. From the beginning, that's what Satan has done, and we've allowed that to change our perception. Remember, as it starts off, your eyes are the body of your lamp. The lamp of your body, not the body of your lamp. And what is letting us know is that how we see describes what we are. So if I allow the world to influence how I see, I'm bad. If I allow, instead of me going through every piece of it, if I allow anything other than God to affect, influence how I see, then I'm bad. Not just I see bad, I am bad. That's why that, you know, it says that it's the lamp of the body, and it's telling us what we are. And it lets us know very clearly that only Christ is that true light. So if my eyes are not coming through that way, then I'm bad if I allow other things to influence my perception. Now, we all have our points of view, individual points of view, but it's usually dangerously wrong when treated as the absolute right. So in other words, I'm going to be affected by things wanting me to see things a certain way, but how you adjust that is through Christ. That's when he says, walk by faith, not by sight. So I'm going to see something. I'm going to feel a certain way. I'm still fine. And unless I make how I see it my decision. But when I see it, if it's not in line with God and I don't always filter it through God and I don't deal with it through God, then I'm bad. But if I make sure I always filter it and adjust it through God, that's how it's supposed to be. But you're always going to have things that are going to try to influence you. And some things are going to affect some people more than others. Our purpose is going to be what defines our perception. If we as Christians were truly 100% living for God, my perception would be 100% God. And understand this. And I keep telling y'all this because there are some Christians that are living in a certain mode. They're basically giving God a chance. They're saying, okay, God, I'm going to work hard for you. And if things don't change, then I'm done. God's saying, just be done then. Okay, because that's a foolish statement, but you'd be surprised more people have that mentality of God, I've done all this and nothing's changed, or God, I've done, and they missed it. They have no idea what they're going through. They're totally lost in that. While the person who's living for God will go, God, use me however you see fit. They're not going to lie and say, hey, I'm struggling through this part and I may go through this part. Their thing is, but God, I just want you to use me however you see fit, because their purpose is God. And that means their perception, they understand, I know all things work for the good. Why? Because that's what God said. You understand that? But a person who's kind of faking it until they think they make it, wasting their time. You know what I mean? They're just kind of, you know, buying time and they're playing games with God. God says you are a fool if you look at things only through your point of view. He makes that very clear. All disputable scenarios are relative. We have to keep that in mind. What does that mean? Things only mean from what I see, from my point of view. And that's what makes life dangerous. You know, I told you I've heard ministers sometimes give sermons to a group of people that recognize them. That's like if, as a man, I only preach to men about men, and as if that's the final truth. And you got a bunch of women out there that are going, wait a minute, he didn't say nothing about what we go through. You understand that? Because I'm giving you what I see based on me, and that becomes dangerous. The things man looks at are not what God looks at. That's why we need God to be our sight. That's why you walk by faith. What and how we see depends on what our minds are focused on, and that's our choice. You know what I mean? It's a choice you make up. Our perception could truly make us blind and make us lead others astray. All right? So if you keep allowing how you feel, how things seem, what you desire, and not what he says, be your guide, not only will you be misled, you're going to mislead others. Emotions cloud perceptions. That's a dangerous thing. Emotions themselves are not bad, just like desires themselves are not bad. They're bad when I am led by them, when they become my influencer in my life. Any fight or argument and some declined requests to God are because of our perceptions. You know, when he told us, where do fights and quarrels come from? Don't they come from the desires that battle within you? He's basically saying, with the things that you want based on you. If I get in an argument with somebody, I don't care if they started it. I don't care if I think they're wrong, whatever it is. If I'm in the argument, I'm automatically wrong. Now, it doesn't mean they're not wrong. It just means I'm automatically wrong. I still have to answer to God about me. You understand that? And a lot of times when God says no, remember, he says, because of you, it's because your desires, they're in the wrong motives. Perception has to be, why am I asking for this? What am I doing? If we don't get our perceptions in check, we will miss out on blessings. Okay, and that's going to happen many times in our lives. Now, path to deal with perceptions, we must focus using the correct lens and recognize the only absolute truth is Christ. So that lens is Christ. I must see everything, and you can say everything, through Christ. It is a must that we see everything through Christ. All Christians are to be the same mind. That mind is Christ. Now, that's where we're messing up today, because like I said, we got too many Christian groups that have allowed certain people to lay different foundations, and we still call ourselves Christians. And you got Christian group over here, and Christian group over there, and Christian group there, and Christian, and we're all split apart, even though the Bible made very clear there is to be no division. And the Bible made clear we're supposed to have the same mind. The reason why we struggle with that is an eye opener. We struggle with that not because Christians are, you know, the other Christians are not listening to me. It means all of us are really not listening to Christ. When that same mind he's talking about is the mind of Christ. Every Christian should have that. We all should respond the same way in every situation based on Christ completely. Fortunately, we still allow all this other garbage to influence us. And unfortunately, it ends up distorting us. Following Jesus, our attitude must be towards the will of God, not towards our desire. So please understand that, okay? If you don't allow that, your desire is always going to have a say. It's really going to have a say. I was talking to my sister not too long ago. I was talking to a couple of people actually these last 2 weeks on the things concerning the election and talking to Christians and things of that sort. You hear Christians who say who they're going to vote for or not vote or whatever they're going to do, and a lot of it still has a lot of the me syndrome in it. The what I'm going to do, I feel, how I feel about it. I feel strongly about this, so I'm going to. And a lot of people are doing an emotional response on it. Now, as I said before, the only thing that it gave me insight on and what it should give you insight on is then what is your driving force? If it's not 100% what the Bible says, then people can now take your desires and make it fit in the Bible. I've seen that happen way too many times. And they'll make the Bible support you in your attitude, and your perceptions all messed up. You saw exactly what Satan did to Eve, and that's what's happening to us daily. Why? Because we have desires. We wait until somebody distorts the Bible and makes it fit us. Even though the Bible is very clear on that, we'd see very clearly if we went in there without our desires influencing us. Now, do not expect a non-Christian to understand the correct way of dealing with issues. That's huge, because a non-Christian is not going to be able to have that same perception. They don't have access to the lens because they're a non-follower of Christ. You have to be a follower of Christ to have that that viewpoint. And lastly, in the review, we said, no, there is no way we can see or help the wrong in someone unless we see and acknowledge the wrong in us. And once again, I'm going to spend a real quick time on that again, as we were talking about last week, and then we'll jump on where we last left off. The make sure I'm in the right thing. Give me 1 second.
Bob, I have a question.
Yeah, let's go right ahead.
Who's Satan?
Who is Satan?
Yeah.
So Satan was an angel who, through his perception, thought he could be better than God. Okay? So God then basically condemned him to earth for the time being, and eventually he will be condemned to hell. And hell was made for him, for somebody that was made by God to allow himself to become corrupt. So he was an angel, and then he became bad when he went against God, basically. So he's the leader of those who were bad. And that, so he took a whole lot of other angels with him, and those are what we call demons. Does that help?
Do you know his name?
Huh?
Do you know his name?
He's still Satan. Now, let me tell you this, because some people like to use the term Lucifer, and that's not 100% correct. There's a verse in Isaiah, And only in the King James Version where you see the term Lucifer. If rest of you look in other Bibles, whatever other versions there are, you won't see the name Lucifer. Because Lucifer is Latin. Yeah, Latin for morning star. The reason why we can't say that's his name, because God, nowhere does it show God gave him that name. It just says, oh, morning star. It was saying, as an angel, man, you fit this. Now, that term is used for a lot of people or a lot of things in the Bible, especially it was used for Christ. If you go to Revelations, where it says morning star, and it's just an enlightening of who, of what you represented, and then how far you have fallen for Satan. He fell from that. So you'll hear some people say his name was Lucifer, but doesn't really show that in the Bible. OK, so we do know him as Satan. Other names in the Bible we hear are devil, the serpent. We hear a Beelzebub, we hear in there, but Lucifer, like I said, you'll only see that in King James, and it's a translation of the term, O Morning Star. Amen?
Okay, I have another question.
Okay.
I don't know if you're going to understand this. Like, do we all have angels?
So, we all have ministering angels, as I said. There's a verse in the Bible that says that. There is a ministering angel we all have, so it could be an angel or angels with us, but there is and I got to find the verse exactly where it says it, but there does show we all have ministering angels. Amen. And if you have more, make sure you ask me on that, and I'll go over that with you. Okay.
Okay.
Good questions, hon. But staying on perception, going back to perception, but those are good questions. You want to make sure you ask those in question and answer, but it was still good that you asked those. I got to see where we last left off, blah, 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 concerning disputable matters. Here we go, right here. So where we last left off was this one, and we did this last week, and I just want to make sure we get this. In Luke 6, 41 through 42, it says, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? And what that's inferring is a lot of times when we help others, they're busy looking at us and they're missing any help we're giving them because we end up talking as hypocrites. You know what I mean? I can't say something saying somebody is bad when they're looking at me and I'm bad also. You may be 100% right in what you're saying, but it's going to go no further because they're looking at me and they're like, how can he tell me that I'm bad, if that makes sense? And so, and if you notice what this verse is stressing to us, is not me telling you the answer, it's me helping you to see. And that's a key for every Christian. When he says, first take the plank out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. You see how that concept works? So it's a combination of me removing what I can't see in order for me to help others. My perception lets me know I'm a wretched man and lets me know you're a wretched man / woman. You know how that works. And it allows me to approach you not with a mindset of, man, why can't you be like me? I'm so appalled at what you're doing. Mine is, yeah, I see them messing up just like I could mess up. And sometimes I probably do mess up. So how can I help them from messing up or help them to see that they're messing up when I know I can mess up? And you'll humbly approach them. You'll compassionately approach them. But that's so important, because if not, you'll approach them almost with a look and I'm angry at you and I can't believe you did that. And you don't realize now you're pushing them away. And the problem is your anger is never justified. My anger towards you and your sin is never justified based on me. I'm going to have to answer to God, because he's going to say, how can you cast that first stone? How can you talk to them as if you never did anything wrong? Very important for us to do. I just want to make sure I touched on that. Again, so everybody was clear on it. Now, concerning what's called disputable matters, what's a disputable matter? I'll talk about it. It's concerning disputable matters, Christians at times must give in. Now, I'm explaining this, and I want to make sure y'all grasp this and understand it. Romans 14, 1-4, it says, accept him whose faith is weak. So it's telling, now, first of all, every Christian should strive to have strong faith. And he's letting you know that there are going to be some that are going to have weaker faith, and it's going to allow them to do some things that are kind of off, but that's only acceptable with what's called disputable matters. That's why he says, accept him whose faith is weak without passing judgment on disputable matters. What's a disputable matter? Anything that is very clear to our salvation. Like, for instance, a person can't go, hey, I don't need Christ in order to be saved. See, that's indisputable. You must have Christ. So that is something that is, you can't let that go. They have to know that answer. Do you understand that? There are things clearly in the Bible that the Bible clearly tells us to do based on our salvation. You know what I mean? You know the verses that says, be sure of this, this group, and it gives a whole bunch of sexually immoral, the adulterer, the immoral, so on and so forth, will not enter the kingdom of heaven. See, that's another indisputable matter. If you're those, you're headed to hell. So we got to make sure we know that. A disputable matter, he uses an example here, is like things like food, where he says in verse 2, one man's faith allows him to eat everything, but another man's faith, watch this, is weak, eats only vegetables. Now he's saying it's weak because the first man allows him to eat everything, because basically the Bible, especially in the New Testament, tells us you can eat what you want now. Now, a person who doesn't know this is still stuck in the Old Testament. That's what you hear still people saying. That's why I don't eat pork. That's why I don't eat shrimp. That's fine if you don't want to. But when he's saying a person's faith is weak, it's because they're allowing something else to influence that, but food is not going to get us into heaven or keep us out of heaven, is what he's saying. He's saying the man who eats everything must not look down on he who does not, and the man who does not eat everything must not condemn the man who does, for God has accepted him. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand for the Lord, for the Lord is able to make him stand. So the key we have to understand in our perception, especially on disputable matters, don't make these minor things major. There are certain basic things that are not hurting somebody's salvation that somebody does, and you just go, you know what, I'll let it go. And we even seen that we can't allow my freedoms. You know, there's a verse where Paul even says, if me eating meat causes my brother to fall, I'll never eat meat again. Not because eating meat is wrong, because I'm looking out for the other person. So my perception still has to recognize this person struggles. So I'm not going to eat meat then if it's going to cause him to fall. So we have to recognize what a disputable matter is and what's indisputable. And that's going to be a very important thing. So make sure you look in your life and understand the difference between the two, so you don't just take some things lightly that the Bible is very heavy on, and where you don't put too much weight on things that God says, that's no big deal. I don't care about that. And the Bible will show us that. He'll show us which things. He's very clear on the things that he's saying, this must be. And other things is kind of, you know, no big deal, if that makes sense. Okay. So let's look at disputable matters must never be a deciding factor in a believer's life. Please understand it. Okay. Must never be a deciding factor. Romans 14, 15 says, if your brother is distressed because of what you eat, you are no longer acting in love. Now, I hear a lot of people talk about freedoms today. We talk about my rights. We talk about things we do. So if I do something that's not based in God for me, and it's doing something to you, I sin. Even though I may have the right to do it. Keep that in mind. He says, do not by your eating destroy your brother whom Christ died. And he's making this very clear. Don't make sure when God comes and he questions you on, wait a minute, did you know that bothered him? You go, I don't care. I'm allowed to do what I want to. It's a free world. It's my God-given right. You know how we do that nonsense? And he's saying, if my freedom causes somebody else to fall, and I have to know this, that's the key, I have to understand this, but when I allow my freedom or what I desire, and these are disputable matters, to ever go ahead of you, excuse me, and causes you to stumble, I'm going to have to answer to God for that. He shows us in 1 Corinthians 8, 9 through 13, he says, be careful, however, that the exercise of your freedom does not become a stumbling block to the weak. He says, for if anyone who with a weak conscience see you who have this knowledge eating in an idol's temple, won't he be emboldened to eat what he has sacrificed, what has been sacrificed to idols? I got to explain this to you, because if you're looking at this, you're going, what are you talking about idols and who's eating among idols? Christians recognize, and the same thing goes with the holidays we have today. I was explaining this last week, I think, also. I'll show the comparison between the two. So in the old, what happened was a strong Christian recognized, I want something to eat, and the places that had idols were selling the food cheaper, and I don't have that kind of money, so I'm gonna go buy the food from them. I just want food. The people who were weak would go, oh, I'm not eating that food. It could bring spirits in your house, or it could do, and they'll start saying things that have nothing to do with God. But the problem is, if they see that you eating it, even though you know the idols are nothing, it could cause them to fall. So you're going to go, you know what, I won't eat over there because I don't want them to stumble, right? And that's what we are saying in the same thing concerning the same thing when we were saying concerning Halloween, for instance. Like I said, Halloween, yes, it has its as we may call it, a history, and people can add to it, but so does Christmas, and unfortunately so does Easter. And none of those, even though we made them Christian, two of them Christian holidays, another one just some other holiday, we as Christians can't get caught up in that. You understand that? Let's be careful not to put so much emphasis on that. We lose emphasis on what the Bible is telling us. But what I am saying is, but those who are getting into it, be careful not to be a stumbling block to others. That's why I wouldn't necessarily recommend, but I'd be wrong as a pastor to go, Christians, you shouldn't be doing this, because now I'm picking on things that God didn't necessarily say not to. Okay, and that's what was happening with these idols. People were just getting something to eat that happened to be at a place with an idol. You know what I mean? You're taking kids out to get something for candy that happened to be on this day where somebody said in the past it has this history and all this. And I don't think the kids are thinking about that, but I'm not recommending that. But the point I'm putting this is, we have to recognize what we're doing and how it's affecting others. And that's why it says in verse 11, so this weak brother from whom Christ died is destroyed by your knowledge. Since I know there's really nothing to these holidays or nothing to these things, but I do know, just because I know it, it could cause somebody else to stumble. Do you get this? Then I choose not to do it, or I'm careful how I do it in order not to make them stumble. He said, because since I know it doesn't make me free to just do it, especially if I know it's hurting somebody else. And that's why he says in verse 12, when you sin against your brother in this way and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. That's what he's saying. So now it becomes a sin, even though the thing I was doing within itself wasn't a sin. It becomes a sin. Why? Because I know it's causing my brother to fall. This is where our freedoms always take a backseat. Always. And don't feel that victim. Oh, how come I'm always doing it? Has to be the bigger person. Christians, if any Christians out there doing that, woe is me, cut it out. Get rid of it. Encourage each other to cut it out. You understand that? Always be the bigger person. As a Christian, always, you're supposed to be. And that's why he says in verse 13, therefore, if what I eat causes my brother to fall into sin, I will never eat meat again so that I will not cause him to fall. We won't go, I should be allowed to eat what I want to eat. And if it makes them fall, oh, well, they need to get the knowledge I had. If Christ thought that same way, we'd all be going to hell. So we have to always show that compassion and love, especially on what we call disputable matters. Hopefully we understand it, because in many cases today, we're allowing some basic things that are not in God's word and our freedoms to come ahead of others. We're not taking others into consideration. Hopefully everybody got that. All right. Now, in order to truly win them for Christ, I have to put myself in their shoes. Now, this is very important. And what Christians tend not to do, because if we're being honest, we tend to get mad at people based on how we see it. Now, watch what this verse says. In 1 Corinthians 9, 19 through 23, it says, though I am free and belong to no man. So it's saying, as a Christian, I recognize what I am. Watch what he says here. I make myself a slave to who? Everyone. The problem is, we take this verse with certain people. Bible is saying this. No, I got to do this for everyone. To do what? To win as many as possible. So my goal is to win as many as possible. And I'm going to show you the purpose in a little bit. So he kind of breaks it down to the Jew. I become like a Jew to win the Jew. Very important. To those under the law, I become like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I become like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. All of these are with a purpose. So you don't just do it to accept them. You do it to win them. And that's why he breaks it down. I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. So I do it for everyone to save some. He says, here's the purpose. I do this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. We're so busy judging people on different sides, we don't do stuff to win them. We look at them and how come they're not thinking the way I'm thinking? Now, first of all, what if I'm just as bad as them? And that's what we see in many cases. We have just two bad sides, that's all. Instead of us, one being a Christ side, trying to win the two bad sides for Christ. And the only way I'm going to be able to do that, and that's why he says, is to become like them without being them. In other words, without sinning. And this works with teenagers. This works with homosexuals. This works with prisoners. This works with people who are depressed. This works with people who are rich. This works with, in other words, I need to know where they're coming from, not to understand them and accept them, but to win them for Christ. So in other words, I always put it this way. I have to know where you're at to help you know where you're going. Amen. If I just send out the same instructions to everybody around the United States, how to get my house, only some would make it because the rest of them to follow those instructions would go the wrong way. They'll go, I went right. But, you know, where they were, right wouldn't have worked for them. Do you get this? So it's just me getting to know where they're at, but with the purpose to win them. Now, reason why I keep stressing that, you have some people that do that first part, but they do it based on them. Like they'll see where they're at in order to accept them where they're at. That's wrong. That's not a Christian. Christians don't go, this person was born this way, this is the way the person is, and accept them in that way, and oh, they can't help who they are. And that's what you see happening a lot of times in the very liberal type of ministries. You understand that? In which we tend to sometimes, whatever you are, I'm accepting. No, I want to win you. But you have to be careful because once again, on some of the conservative ones, we drew other lines that are not in God. We drew lines that, you know, we can't keep. And God, he's very much against that if you remember Matthew 23. So we got to be careful of that too. So I go out of my way. You go out of your way for who? Everyone. For the purpose of Christ. That perception. I need to know where they're coming from in order to get them where they need to go. Now we need to let go of our perception and gain true wisdom. That's why he says in 1 Corinthians 3, 18 through 19, and I've always told you, as it starts off in verse 18, he says, do not deceive yourselves. Deception is a choice. If any one of you thinks he is wise, watch this, by the standards of this age, he should become a fool. Many years, I've always thought I was a smart guy growing up, getting all this knowledge and stuff I thought I was remembering until things weren't going right. When I would read the Bible, I was like, something's not working. It wasn't jiving. And I was frustrated. And it was because I was using what I understood to fit what God was saying instead of me just taking what God was saying. Becoming a fool in this case is meaning I'm letting go of everything and just doing exactly what he tells me. As much as you may hear me say that and say that Jesus said that, you still have people that are still, this is what God said. This is what I'm feeling and see if it can fit together. And it doesn't work. Right? But he made clear he should become a fool so that he may become wise. And a lot of us are missing out on wisdom because we haven't become a fool yet. And you can hear when a person talks, you hear a little bit of what God says and a whole lot of what they thought or their own experience or what they think or what they heard from somebody else and so on and so forth. And you're kind of like, what is that mess? And that's what it is. Hopefully you are saying that because it's nonsense. And you're usually able to tell because you're like, you were starting off in the Bible. What is this stuff over here? Where are you getting this over here? You understand that? He says we got to become a fool so that he may become wise. And he says in verse 19, watch this very clearly. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. As is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. So anybody who's worldly wise, or worldly smart, be very careful because in God's eyes, you're a fool. Very important to keep that in mind. So I want my sight or how I'm seeing things not to be based off of my own intelligence or what the world has given me, but fully based on God. So here's the key. There's one key to true vision. And God gives it to us in Proverbs 3, 5 through 8. And this is why people hear me say it was my enlightening, most powerful, important verse in my life because it was life changing for me. When I read, trust in the Lord, that's very important, with all your heart, extremely important. This is the part that got me, and lean not on your own understanding is what hit me. Why? Because I recognized what I struggled with is what I wanted to understand instead of just accepting what he said. Think about that. So like I said, there are some people who are struggling with God because in their mindset, God, I did this and you're not doing this. Now they're struggling and they're getting ready to head back to hell path. Why? Because they're allowing their understanding to play a part with God's trust. That means you're not trusting a God. You're trusting a God as far as your understanding goes. So you're not trusting a God. Think about that. And many are doing that. You're just a step away from going away from God because your understanding is not based on God. Your understanding is based on you. And you just want God to follow through. That's why he says in all your ways, acknowledge him. Do y'all do that? You know what I mean? Before you do anything with your hair, your glasses, my shirt looks like that commercial. My wife was telling me something about my shirt. But you see stuff like that. You know what I mean? All that stuff. Why did you put this on? Why are you wearing this? Why are you taking this way to work? Do we check with him on everything? Do we really check with him? He was like, if I check with him, he will make my path straight. Because there's a lot of stuff all of us are doing in life right now that we didn't check on God that we think is going well. And we're going to find out later what the heck was going on. And God's like, you never acknowledged me on that. You did this on your own. And it felt like it was right. Only find out later, man, because you didn't acknowledge me. He will make your path straight. It says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. You can't play a part in this. Just go, God, I'm coming to get what you have to say, not what I feel. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. That's perception. That is clear perception of God. I just want what you tell me and that I will do. Not, God, I'm coming to hear what you tell me. As long as I'm good with it, then I'll do it. And unfortunately, majority of people are doing the latter. Majority of people have that mindset of God, I'll do it until God's saying, go ahead and move on. I love you, but it's never going to work on those terms. And you got to understand that. So finally, we need to continuously stop and know who it's all about. It's not about me. It's not about you. If it was about us, we'd just go to hell because we're already messed up. That's why we need to know what we are. You understand it? We messed up. Stop playing the victim. He shows in Psalms 46:10, he says, be still and know that I am God. When I did this, and there's a, what are my steps coming up, I think? It's something coming up. It's going to explain why, like I said, when we don't know this is when you get people that kind of get puffed up and they give the, how can a loving God send people to hell? When you know this, you sit back and you watch what God has done for us. You're going, man, messed up as I am, and he's offering me this for me? Seriously? But I had to be still and know him. He doesn't need me. You understand that? Why is he doing all this for me? And you understand him, you'll see, I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. A God who is everything, can do everything, is everywhere, almighty in every way. How dare we question him? Know who he is. Because how you're seeing it may not always be right. So then in doing so, your perception will make you put everything to the test. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5:21-22, test everything. Hold on to the good, avoid every kind of evil, but test everything. And the way you test is through him. As we have in the Greek word, to test means literally or figuratively by implication to approve. You're taking that whatever you're looking at and making sure it's in line with the only source of truth, which is the truth, which is Christ. If it's not in line with him, it's bad. Be careful. Or else you're going to allow your distorted perception to make you eat that fruit. We all know what happens after that. Any questions? Amen. All right. Praise God. Thank him for another one. Hopefully you guys go through it again and gain understanding of it. Hopefully you're readjusting your perception. It's something that's so important for each and every one of us. Remember, we all, especially here, and all other Christians should be looking the same, reacting the same, talking the same. Homework. Why aren't we? And try to do it from your own view. Ask the question, and this is something for you to do, not to turn into me, but it could bring up good discussions for your groups. Why aren't we? And where am I either helping or hurting? Good question to ask. Any questions? All right.